Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target. Well, I'm your host, Chris, along with John. And we have a special guest tonight.
Yes, actually returning for the second week in a row. This is great.
This is wild.
I mean, this is crazy. I think this is the very first where a special guest has returned two consecutive weeks.
I don't even know what's happening right now.
I know. My mind is blown. My world is shattering.
Yes. Josh Fulton.
What up?
So this week we have just seen Thor.
Literally just come from the theater.
The Dark World.
Sitting down. It was the Dark World.
Yes.
Emphasis on dark.
Stay true to its name.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, this one made sense opposed to Star Trek Into Darkness.
Right.
But we won't get into that here.
It's a whole other debate.
You can find us online at stayontargetpodcast.com. You can find us all on Twitter at ChrisWright250.
And JohnWright777.
And Josh Fulton at Josh Fulton.
Yes, I like it. It's like Josh Fulton at joshfulton.com or something like that, you know.
Actually, it's joshfulton at me.com.
Nice.
I try to be pretty self-centered when in my social media endeavors.
That's awesome. Yeah, okay. So we're going to do a spoiler-free review. Then we're going to like spoil the heck out of it. And that's coming up. But first,
pick of the week.
Okay, cool. So my pick of the week is probably unsurprisingly Call of Duty Ghosts.
Right on.
That thing is amazing. And
came out Tuesday.
Yes, came out Tuesday, I want to have something kind of like maybe written over the weekend, and I'll post it on stayontargetpodcast.com and briefly talk about the game. It kind of expands on the franchise a little. There's the multiplayer has been updated. I really like the changes. It's a lot slower.
It's a lot slower, a lot bigger maps,
yeah,
that sort of thing.
It kind of feels like a cross between the first Call of Duty Black Ops and Modern Warfare 3.
I feel like they basically took from where Black Ops 2 was and they said we're going to do the complete opposite of that.
Yeah.
Other than like the class loadout system. So, yeah.
On 360 even, you know, like the graphics look way better than Black Ops 2, which is weird.
Weird because the maps are bigger. There's more things going on. The engine is just completely redesigned. So, I mean, it's got to be the redesigned engine. And it's people have been screaming about, you know, you guys got to redesign your engine, you know, for years now. And
with
evidently,
pitchforks like that.
Yeah, and evidently, you know, pitchforks and torches. We're an angry mob.
Let's go get Gaston.
Yeah, you know. we're trying to go kill the beast because we just don't understand it.
Yes,
because it's weird.
Exactly.
No, seriously, people have been up in arms about the engine for I guess you know years, like games and games here, and honestly, rightfully so because
this looks amazing.
It looks so much better. You know, we just maxed out the engine before. So
you played Extinction. It's it's fun.
It's really fun. It's a completely different take. It's not zombies. Like if you're looking for like something that is this you know game's zombies, it is not that. It's not slow. It's more like in the vein of like Left 4 Dead kind of campaign stuff where it's everything's frantic and you're just kind of running around, you know, and there's a scorpion alien that shoots at you.
Gears of War's horde mode at all?
There's the design of the aliens I feel like is very much that way where there's some ones that are like the tickers that explode when you shoot them, which is always an interesting thing whenever it's like, I'm going to save your life, bam, and then you blow up your friend.
Nice.
So yeah,
it's always fun.
You know. Anyway, so that extinction mode is pretty awesome.
Cool.
So.
I haven't played it. I have not played the campaign yet. What was I supposed to say?
Divin. You have not divin into.
I haven't divin in.
Divin? That doesn't sound right at all.
It's totally wrong.
into the campaign yet. And so I'm going to hopefully get to do that over the weekend. I'm trying to get as many achievements out of this thing as I can before the Xbox One version comes out.
Before you trade up?
Before I trade up.
Nice. Yeah. So do you think you're going to be able to get all the campaign done, sort of thing?
I'm going to do it on veteran. It's going to be done.
Nice. That's awesome. All right. So my pick of the week this week, I actually just discovered it this evening.
Yeah.
And it kind of dominated. Like once I saw it was for free on the App Store. It's called Tiny Death Star.
Is this like Star Wars officially licensed?
Yeah, it is. And this is like, I think this is Tiny Tower is what it's a playoff like Tiny Tower. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Uh-huh, but it's
I play Tiny Tower.
It's Star Wars themed.
Wow, I'm throwing Tiny Tower to the curb now.
I know, right? whenever you can have like R2-D2 and you know, the Emperor talking to you. So the whole premise is the whole premise is that that they need money for their Death Star.
The Empire needs money.
And yeah, they do. And then
they can't just go pillage a planet of all its resources to build this thing.
Are going
to
do like a phone drive? Like,
yes, it's a PBS public
television
phone drive.
Well, I think Darth Vader actually suggested something. He suggested going out and getting jobs. And the Emperor said,
"Let's get some real jobs."
The Emperor said, "No, we don't do that. We're going to get a lot of people to come to this Death Star and make us all of our money." And so, you know,
seems legit.
Exactly. So like every once in a while, even during the movie or whatever, my phone vibrated. I'm thinking, oh man, there's a level that needs my attention before Darth Vader comes and gets me.
Okay, so like Tiny Tower, you can put in a sub shop and things like that, yeah. Like a clothing store. What are you putting in this Death Star?
I had a cantina. Oh, okay. I had, let me see, what else do I have? I just got an interrogation room, which is pretty intense. Pretty sure if any Rebel Alliance people come up the elevator, I got to drop them off at that level, which is going to be... It's going to be an awfully big surprise when those elevator doors open.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, anyway. So that's
your pick of the week.
It's my pick of the week. It's super fun. Go out, grab it. It's free, obviously. It's got like a bunch of like in-app purchases and stuff like that. So, but it's definitely like a free app. So it's great.
Nice. I will probably fall prey to those in-app purchases. Like I bought... Okay, so this is the thing. Like I'm sitting there playing Rayman Jungle Run and like... Oh man, you can get a blue Rayman dollar spent. Like stupid things. And then afterwards I'm like, why did I buy that? Like that didn't change my gameplay at all.
But it just looks cool. If you're sitting next to your friend and it's like, hey, check out my blue Rayman.
He's blue.
He's like a Smurf.
Exactly. I mean, I might as well just give Apple complete access to my wallet.
Just, well, honestly, like with a new iPhone, with the thumbprint thing, yeah, it's pretty easy. Because you can use your thumbprint for purchases, and so I'm just like, hey, so I'll buy that.
You don't even have that, like, you know, 10-second time where you're punching in your password think about things.
There's no buyer's remorse.
Yeah. You literally just, like, you just put your thumb on it, and you're like, that's it. It's mine now.
Yeah.
And it starts downloading.
That's awesome.
It's great.
I'll put links to these in our on our podcast notes.
Absolutely.
I cannot speak English tonight.
Thor just rocked your world that much. All right, on to the main event.
Yes.
We're going to talk about Thor. This is the spoiler-free section.
So you can listen and not be spoiled.
Yes. And basically, whenever we start the spoiler countdown, make sure you turn it off because those spoilers will be forthcoming very quickly.
Yes. So let's dive right in.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do it.
So, initial reactions... Josh, go.
Okay. All right. So I was thinking in the movie, I'm like, I'm so happy right now because I literally, up until like an hour before I watched the movie, didn't even hit me that I was going to see the sequel to Thor. Like, it's been such a low-key movie for me. Like, yeah. I haven't watched hardly any trailers, nothing. And I'm like...
So you had like no expectations.
Nothing, dude. That's good. I mean, I have no idea what I'm saying right now.
Dude, it's spreading. The disease is spreading around the room.
Thor just blew your mind, too. It feels like Thor's hammer just, like, smashed your brain.
John, what did you think?
Man, okay, so I loved the first Thor. And I always do this. Like, I ignore all trailers pretty much before I see any movie. Like, basically, the moment in a trailer, if it's the first trailer, I'll watch until the moment I go, yep, I'm going to see it. And then I'll stop watching. Plug my ears, like, whatever.
Yeah, I'll look over and John will be, like, cowered down in his seat.
Yep.
Covering his eyes and ears.
This is
like,
me.
It looks like it hurts him to be watching this.
It does. Sometimes I leave the theater, like, for that preview. Like, I've read The Hobbit. Why do I do these things? I cover my ears during those previews as well. So, anyway. But yeah, I loved it. I loved it because, I mean, the first Thor I loved. It was kind of one that snuck up on me as well. It was just like, you know, Catherine and I were looking for a movie to go see and was like, hey, let's go see that, you know? And so we went to see Thor. And it rocked my world. And then this one, I feel like they just kind of took it to the next level. It was really good.
Yeah.
Really good. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, it was pretty much the same thing for me. Like, the weird thing was, I was talking to Josh earlier today, like, I saw a preview yesterday that finally like made me be like, this is going to be a great movie. And like until then, it was just kind of like, you know, it was like Thor with a one-liner after he hits the rock guy, you know, it's just like, this looks, I don't know.
Yeah, which honestly, they got all that stuff out of the way early. Yeah, like all the preview footage happened in the first like maybe 30 minutes.
Yep. Yeah, if that.
I mean, it was awesome. I was really happy about that because I always worry about like previews and stuff. Like everyone, you know, even though I cover my ears and stuff, they always kind of like catch things here and there. And the Rock dude was one where I was like, giving away the one-liners, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, there's plenty of one-liners.
Oh, there's plenty of those. So
chock full.
All right, so chock full of one-liners. I like it. So let's kind of dive into like some other things about it. As far as the music, I guess we'll just start there.
Yeah, we can start with the music. Honestly, like the music really impressed me in this movie.
Agreed.
It normally doesn't stand out that much to me in a Marvel movie.
Right.
I think
it's
the first time it actually has.
Honestly, I think it has either. I mean, I can't remember a single movie where like I left the Iron Mans or any of those, like even the Avengers, where I left going, oh, the music.
I was trying to remember like the theme that they were using, which I guess is Thor's theme or some, I don't know what theme it is.
I recognized it. I think it might have been in the first movie.
I was about to say, was it in the first movie or was it in the Avengers or maybe both?
It might have been in both.
And honestly, like if anyone else has a theme, I don't know what it is.
Right.
But this is the one that I associate with these movies.
Right. This is the one that I associate with, like, Thor as well. Like, because every time, you know, something epic would happen and, you know, it was just...
horn start blaring.
Right. And it's like, yes! You know, you get these chills of like, Thor's coming, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. So what do you think about the music, Josh? You like?
I didn't notice it that much.
Oh, man.
Sorry. I was kind of wrapped up in, like... Because I wasn't paying attention to anything before the movie, like just coming into it, I was just like, wow, this is really good. And I was just enjoying it, which I don't get to do very often.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You don't get to enjoy movies very often? Is that
just like... No, because I spoil it, dude. I watch every trailer, and I work with people who want to spoil every trailer, and this is the first one.
You're the guy who's like Googling behind the scenes, they cast who?
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Let's go with direction. Like, I thought that... Okay. There's a couple things. I thought this was well directed, but I could almost point out, and we can talk about it in a minute, like which scenes were like fixed by Joss Whedon. Like I feel like
I wonder what your theories are, because I thought about the same thing while I was sitting there. I was like, okay, I wonder which ones of these Joss came in and rewrote.
Yeah,
and so I wonder if we have the same ones that we think he did.
So like, but it still looked great. Still, you know, like it was a pretty movie. Like honestly, like the effects were pretty. There were a couple like almost rookie mistakes where like, you know, there would be like a cut in and everyone would be in different positions.
Yeah, I noticed.
Like it happened like three times. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what in the world? How did that even make it in this movie? I don't understand.
The only one that really caught me like that was
don't spoil anything.
Oh, I can't spoil anything. Nope. Well, there was one where somebody was holding something in a different way than whenever they cut. Okay, so I thought that the direction was really good. The pacing of the movie felt really nice to me.
Yeah.
I mean, some might argue that it could be a little bit slow. The first Thor was like this, though, and I feel like it's because we have these like kind of medieval-type themes and medieval-type situations and scenarios, because those types of movies are somewhat slower in the middle sometimes.
Yeah.
And so, so I like that, because it builds up the tension for whenever that final moment ends up, you know, the climax of the movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, did you guys think, you know, what did you think about pacing, that sort of thing?
I thought it was fine. I felt like my attention was captured throughout the whole movie.
Gotcha.
I don't feel like there was really any kind of lull. And I think I felt that in the first one. I think in the first one, there was parts where I'm like, can we get through this?
Mm-hmm.
Get to the next part. I just felt like the race that they're fighting, that's, you know, this darkness, was so enthralling.
Yeah.
And the tone of the movie was so enthralling. Like, I was not let down.
What was interesting to me about, like, I'm going to parallel this with Man of Steel for a second. So, maybe, like, if you don't want to know anything about Man of Steel, like, spoiler alert. But, okay, Man of Steel, there's a point in Man of Steel where it feels like a horror movie almost.
Yeah.
Like, whenever he's at the Kent farm and all the lights go out and the TV goes, like, crazy. And it's a horror film.
Yeah.
Okay, well, whenever this race shows up in the ship, there's a shot with, like, red lights on them and they're just sitting there still. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a horror movie.
Yep.
Like, it was really, really cool. I really like, you know, incorporating those kind of elements into movies like this. Like, I feel like it's way more effective just, you know, like showing some bad guy with a frown on his face.
Yeah. Or like, you know, essentially like the anti-hero or whatever, where it's there's a Hulk and then there's a Red Hulk and the Red Hulk's beating up with the Green Hulk and the...
He's obviously bad.
He's obviously evil because he's got spikes.
I like taking these things that we associate with this is evil and using that in the films.
Right. I definitely think that there was a lot of that tension building, and there was a lot of those tense moments like that, you know, that moment. And there was a few others that I can kind of think of that had that kind of dark horror kind of, the lighting was kind of in the horror aspect of things. And I loved the way that they did the graphics in most of this. It was pretty natural to not only the themes, you know, going on, but also the Marvel universe as a whole.
Yeah.
The dark world kind of played in because it was a little bit more muted tones, that sort of thing, than even the first movie. The first movie, you know, a lot of the cities back where Thor is from at his home, it was like more golden and, you know, all this, you know, bright stuff going on. Whereas this one, it was kind of more real and it felt definitely, it appealed to me more than the first movie.
They did a good job. Like, we do some world hopping in this. And, like, they did a good job giving each world its own visual style.
Yeah,
like, that's true.
Without even any kind of context,
you knew where you were,
yep.
Which helped keep track of everything. Like, it was really good.
It was really also really nice, you know, playing on the themes of multiple things going on with the multiple worlds and things. Mm-hmm. I feel like it opened the scope of Thor's universe because it set him in a place where. You know, a lot of the other characters in the Marvel universe, it's like, man, well, we don't know exactly where they fit, that sort of thing, but we know where Iron Man fits, and now we know, I feel like, where Thor fits, where he fits in this into a bigger, broader picture than the other guys. So,
In the first movie, you know, you had him, and you dealt with Asgard and this small town in New Mexico, and you're like. I don't even know.
Right. You know? Well, you know, that was an interesting thing because, you know, superheroes most of the time are in these big metropolitan areas.
Right.
And so that was an interesting play that they had, I feel like. But we did spend a lot of time in this small town versus the majority of the action happened on Earth. Yeah. Whereas this time, a decent amount of the action happened elsewhere, which was nice to see.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
What did you think of the plot, you know, just the overall... Like, I mean, there was without a lot of stuff
spoilers.
Going on.
Right.
Yeah, without any spoilers. There was a lot going on to keep track of.
I felt like there was way more at stake in this one. And watching Thor deal with some of the things that he had to deal with and face in this movie, it made it so much more. I feel like the first one was like, you know, how to have a man crush on Thor 101. It's like all these like beauty shots of Thor and like... You know, it was very, like, linear, very...
I mean, you
like,
can't argue with his hair. I mean,
Dude, I'm not saying...
It looks good in slow-mo.
I'm not saying I might have switched sides for, like, 2 seconds. Oh, I'm just saying. But, like, I feel like that and Captain America, both those, because they were kind of leading up to Avengers, were not necessarily thrown together, but they didn't have the depth that, like, Iron Man and Iron Man 2 had and stuff like that. I felt like they spent way more time on this.
Mm-hmm.
You get way more invested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get more invested in Thor's dad, in his mom, in his friends, and just in the people of Asgard. Like, even the guy that Idris Elba plays.
The guardian.
Yeah. Gatekeeper, that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you get invested in him, and it's just like, man, this is really cool.
You know, I agree with you. I think that the wide, essentially, the first one was a very focused story where you could probably, you know, summarize it in maybe a couple of sentences. This one, it's kind of like, it's way more complex, and there were a lot more things going on, and so it definitely delved into the depth of these characters and reached in and said, hey, what are you made of?
Yeah, there was a lot more character development. Yeah, I like that, and it was done well. Like it wasn't just like, you know, it wasn't done in dialogue. Some of it was, but like you could just within the action sequences, like you kind of got to know these characters,
right? Okay, so does that kind of wrap up our spoiler-free?
Yeah, so
can we spoil something?
I mean, I think we can all agree, like, everyone should go watch this movie.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Everyone should watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one that I feel like, you know, if you like the Marvel Universe at all, you're going to love this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you like movies at all, you're going to like this movie at least, you know. So definitely go see it.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so the spoiler clock is counting down.
Yep.
It's slowly creeping its way down.
Spoiler is about to explode all over you.
Oh man. Gosh. Do you have a spoiler bomb over there, Chris?
I have a spoiler bomb.
Oh my gosh. All right, so it's counting down. 3, 2, 1.
Oh no.
All right, Chris, spoil us.
Loki is the king.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
Oh, man,
yeah.
that was like right to the end of the movie. that was like post-credits
stuff right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I hope you guys listened.
I hope they weren't listening in the car. They were scrambling. They dropped their iPhone. And, like, it happens and came
out. We just lost,
fast.
Like, 2 subscribers.
No, seriously. So so Loki is the king. So did that fool you guys?
Yes. No, because I knew that he was the guy who came and saw the king, but whenever he was talking, it fooled me at the end.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know where Odin is. Did he kill Odin?
See, that's what I was wondering.
That seems unlikely.
I don't know.
Odin's
very
powerful.
He wants to see Odin die, though. I mean, and how else would he have gotten onto that throne, man?
Yeah, that's true. Like, what interests me even more is the fact that, like, now, like, he hates Odin, obviously, and is usurping him, but likes Thor enough to let him live, you know?
Well, okay, so my thing is this. Thor has beaten him before.
That's true.
And so in my mind, I feel like that he's going to amass power and then eventually go after Thor. Or wait until that bubbles over and that sort of thing. Because if Thor knew that he was taken over, nobody would stand for this.
I don't know, though, because at the
Asgard.
End, you know, he was... You know,
nobody in Asgard would. Thor could ruin it for him by just going, hey, guys, check it out. This is Loki.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, that would just ruin it for him. So, I don't know.
I don't know. I think they came to kind of an understanding. Like, Thor respected him in the end. And honestly, as a character, he kind of redeemed himself. You know, like...
Until he took over the king's identity.
Right, that's true. That's true. I mean,
he did it to win Thor's approval. So that, I mean, I think he just covered his bases. So he's going to pretend to be Thor's dad from now on. But if he ever does
that's
find
kind of weird,
his perverse pleasure.
But if
out
he
of
ever,
that.
If he ever does show himself as Loki, Thor will vouch for him.
Right. That's true.
So
that's true.
I mean, that makes
unless
sense.
Unless Thor finds Odin's dead body in some cave somewhere.
Right. That could cause problems.
I mean, like, I don't know. It's like, with his power, I feel like he could get away with almost anything with that power. So.
What do you guys think about Thor and Loki fighting together?
I liked it. I liked the interplay. Yeah. I felt like it was a good moment.
Loki pulled out some moves, man.
Dude. Yeah. I forgot how vicious that guy was.
Yeah, dude, he was like cranking necks and stuff, man.
It was
dude,
crazy.
What's crazy is
him and a tiny little dagger. Like, yeah. It's like, well, at least give me my dagger. And it's like, no, dude, you are lethal with that tiny little weapon.
Right. Well, that's why you slap some cuffs on him.
Yeah.
You know, instead.
That's true.
What I thought was interesting, I've always thought is interesting about Loki and about what's the actor's name who plays him? I can't remember. Anyway, he does an amazing job.
Absolutely.
But
Middleton, something
like that.
Middleston, something.
For IMDb. The Avengers, I forget who it was. I think the studio was pushing for Loki to be the bad guy in the Avengers. And Joss was like, man, I don't know. Like, he just doesn't seem evil enough. We feel like I feel like there needs to be another bad guy. Mm-hmm. And they eventually won Joss over. And, you know, like, the thing is, like, Loki and the actor, like, he can carry the weight of that character and being just this really, really bad guy.
See, like, I feel like to me, to a certain extent, he's not necessarily the quintessential villain to me, and he's not necessarily the villain that Marvel likes to put in their movies. Marvel likes to be very clear about who their villains are. They don't like them to have these tormented type of things going on. Mm-hmm. They like them just to be about death and destruction, so whenever the heroes come in and save the day, you know who's the hero, you know who's the bad guy. You have no question about like what they need to do. And but with Loki, if he had ended up being the bad guy, I feel like I'm kind of with Joss here where it's like he's conflicted enough to where it's like that would be a hard call. It's like, you know, what if somebody has to make the call of like, do I kill Loki or, you know, it's like I wouldn't want him to make that call.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting to me. And by the way, Tom Hiddleston is his name.
Hiddleston.
So anyway, he plays that character incredibly well, where like he just brings a level of class. Like every time he walks on the scene, it's like it just becomes a classier scene.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever we saw him there in the prison, it's like this could be, you know, X sci-fi movie where we're pushing, you know, these alien prisoners into you know, prisons and prison cells, and then, you know, he walks on, and you're like, okay, this is a great scene. You know, this is going to turn into something great.
Might as well be wearing a tux the whole time,
right? You know,
he's just so classy.
I mean, it's so classy.
And I think that's what makes that scene when he reveals himself as being broken and upset about his mother's death, like, it kind of hits you because you're like, whoa, Loki can't keep himself together.
Yeah, dude.
He's falling apart.
Yeah, like, that's a little weird.
Yeah, dude, it was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and the tension that built up in the scene prior to that where he was he was just standing in this, and you knew something was about to blow up, and then he just throws everything in the cell away at the walls.
Man, I liked that scene where he revealed himself, because, like, I loved both the fact that he was so distraught over his mother's death that he's just going nuts. Mm-hmm. And then, but he's also... he's also put together enough to still present this very clean front to everyone, you know, to maintain his own power. I also love how Thor sees right through it.
I mean, he just kind of points out, and he just points it out and says, hey, you know, you can drop this. I loved the interplay between those two characters as they were walking down the hallway directly after that, where he was just, you know, he was basically bantering with Thor the whole time and that sort of thing. That was a really interesting moment, because for Loki's character, I feel like he needed that. He needed his brother, and whenever they had that moment, you know, even though they were picking fun and poking at each other and prodding each other, seeing how far they can take it, it was therapeutic for both of them in that instance. Mm-hmm. So
kind of broke down some walls.
It did. Yeah.
Like,
it did.
Like the wall of trying to kill humans,
right?
In New York,
right?
Like that wall,
that gigantic
wall.
They did that again in the boat, you know, like. Like whenever they started fighting, you know, they kind of connected there, and like I want to watch it again and just kind of figure out, okay, like, it just makes me wonder which of Loki's emotions are real.
Yeah,
like which one? What's he putting on, and what does he really feel like?
Yeah,
I mean, because you just don't know. I mean, it's just kind of one of those. It could be either way. You know, you see him say one thing, but on the other hand, he's doing a completely opposite thing.
That whole like sequence whenever, you know, Loki's being goofy, like you can imagine what they were like as kids. You know, Thor's just like this really tough guy, like sitting over here like breaking rocks.
Yeah,
and Loki's over here. Hey, man, look at me. Look what I can do. And he's just being goofy as all
juggling with knives and stuff.
Yes.
With the projected knives.
Yeah.
You know,
the mentally projected knives.
Yeah.
So, okay. So as far as that goes, like action wise, what do we feel about the movie? Was there anything action wise that stuck out to you guys?
Man, I think one of the highlights for me, and it probably isn't for many other people, but when the Guardian jumps on that ship, like, he realizes there's a ship coming, and he just follows it blindly, can't see it, but he just knows it's there, and just jumps on it and single-handedly, with his bare hands, takes down an entire ship.
Yep.
Like, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and then for me, another one was the moment where the mutant bad guy, the mutant dark elf,
right?
Whatever he was called, whenever he was just putting the beat down on Thor there before
it was right before
Loki came over and you know saved him and then sacrificed himself in quotes there because he didn't die, but whenever he's just putting the beat down on Thor, man, it was just like that was just nuts. Like that to me reminded me a lot of like even Man of Steel or something like that, where it's just the raw brutality of just putting the beat down on
whenever
somebody.
He was pounding Thor into the ground.
Yeah,
it reminded
that's what it
me
is.
Of Doomsday and Superman.
Superman, fighting. Definitely.
I was like, holy moly, this guy could kill Thor. Like,
yeah.
That's how powerful he is.
There's something about when someone's been knocked out or when they're completely helpless and you're still punching them.
Yeah.
Like, it gets me. Like, even when, like, you watch, like, an MMA fight or, like, boxing match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, they just get so caught up in the moment and they've knocked the person out, but they're still going. Mm-hmm. You're just like, stop! Yeah. Stop! You're gonna kill him! Oh, the humanity!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's 1930s reporter
voice. I loved how, like, you know, so Thor is very, like, he is brute force. Like, he just tries to beat this guy with his own strength. Okay?
Right.
And he's losing, obviously.
Right.
The thing that kills him is Loki's smarts.
Right.
Like, he beats him just by being smart.
Right.
You know, which was cool.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And that was a great scene as well. Some of the other action that was interesting was there at the end where they're teleporting in and out of these different universes. Mm-hmm. That was really well played as well. I almost wished, though, that the hammer had played a little bit more. Like, whenever it goes away, you're like, okay, this is going to come back. And they kept playing up on the hammer, and it's like it ended up being, you know, powerful, yeah. But it didn't end up being like as big a deal as I thought it would probably be.
Well, at first I thought they were using that for comedy, and I was like, you know, that's kind of weird. But then I realized they're using this to make Thor helpless, because with that hammer, like, he can do a lot,
right?
Right.
And you wanted it to feel like he was not going to win,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense. And that probably, again, it was just kind of whenever it went away, I was like, oh, that's going to come back, and it's going to bite this guy in the butt whenever he ends up, you know, beating him with it. Mm-hmm. But it's like it ended up being more of a this is, I'm beating somebody with my hammer, and I have the smarts of, you know, my girlfriend and Dr. Yeah. Eric Solvig,
which was hilarious.
Yeah, that was nuts. What did you guys think about all the Earth scenes? I mean, like I said, I feel like there was way less of Earth in this film than there was in the first Thor. We spent a lot of time in Asgard.
The Earth scenes meant more than in the first film.
Yeah. That's true.
The first one, you're like, man, this doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. There's a robot in New Mexico. Who cares?
Yeah. Right.
You know, this one, it felt like it meant something. I liked it a lot. Like, so one of the scenes that I feel like early on, whenever we see Eric, the professor or doctor or whatever he is, he's running around naked at Stonehenge. We see that twice.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for us to see that twice.
That's true.
I feel like they stuck it in the beginning for some reason to make us like more clear of like where this story is going. Maybe. I don't know. That was one thing I'm like, maybe that's what Joss told him to do. Hey, take that scene and stick it earlier.
Just for comedic relief or whatever.
Maybe. Yeah. 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 Yeah, or just to kind of set up, because the rest of the scenes felt like they were trying to reveal that, because like they see him on TV, you're like, hey, there's Eric, you know, and it's supposed to be all funny, and it's not funny anymore because we already saw it.
Yeah, the punchline was already given away.
Exactly. And so like I feel like that was moved for some reason, like it wasn't really planned on.
You know, it might have been one of those things that wasn't as clear as they wanted it to be, and so they just thought they would just be a little bit more heavy-handed about it. And you know, with that's something that whether you assume the audience members are like smart and they'll pick up on all this stuff, mm-hmm. or whether you assume, hey, we need to make sure we slip this into somewhere else because they need it.
What did you think of all the gravity stuff, like just the crazy things happening?
I liked that, man. Yeah. It was a cool element, and definitely like I liked the fact that the going in and out of the universes and how that interplayed, where it's like, this world is huge, you know, this mm-hmm. there are the nine different realms, and like this place is huge, and like even to the point where like the rockets, like the F-15s or whatever they were, went into that other universe and bombed it.
Yeah. Whatever that was.
And that Chinese guy, he's like, what the crap, man?
Some jets just flew in and bombed us.
Hey guys, we're at war with Earth now.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that'll end up happening. You never know. Yeah. You know, it's like, man, that would be a disaster. You know? We got these superhuman guys after us now just because we accidentally bombed them. But yeah, so I loved all the gravity stuff. I loved all the changing things. What'd you guys think about early on, before we even, you know, before we went to Asgard, like before we officially like went there, where we were discovering kind of in the warehouse, mm-hmm. and then she gets knocked out and goes and meets the ether and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was cool. I think, I mean, like you said, that gravity stuff is really cool to me. I love. It reminds me of that movie Chronicle. Did you guys ever see that movie?
No.
The one about the kids. It's all like, what do they call that? Like found footage format. Mm. So it's like these high school kids that stumble upon this force, and they end up having like supernatural powers and whatnot. It's kind of a terrible movie, but just the idea.
But a cool idea.
Yeah, the idea was cool. But like they would lift things and make things float and stuff. Nice. And I just love the fact that these kids found it.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and it's just like, they just think it's awesome. They think it's fun.
I feel like, you know, so in Iron Man 3, spoilers, there's a little kid that he runs into, and it's like that whole scene with little kid in Tennessee is very Spielbergian.
Yeah.
If that's even a word.
And it is now.
That's what this felt like too. Like that's very much, that's like something Spielberg would do, is have these kids like find this you know, thing. Like, I like that a lot.
Well, I mean, and in the you know, comic book universe and things like that, I mean, kids drive a lot of things as far as comic books go, because that's you know, that's the medium.
Yeah.
And so I like the idea of having that interaction between superheroes and kids, or even just young people in general, with like even with those college students. You know, they were like taking pictures. That's Thor out there.
Yeah.
It was nice to see that part of that world, because they've dealt with it a little bit on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where it's like the world is a completely different place now that you know, the Avengers movie happened. And everybody knows these guys exist.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see that and see the external world throughout this crisis, where it's like, yeah, there would be people that would be taking, you know, iPhone photos and uploading to YouTube and stuff like that during this crazy thing, just because it's Thor, you know?
Yeah.
Was there anything else that you
Well, okay, so like, before we leave the whole Earth thing, like, I love the way that it played in with the larger story. I loved, you know, the entire feel of it. I feel like, man, if I was living on Earth, like, there's just aliens coming all the time to just kill us. Like, it's terrible. I don't know how I would feel.
If people in London were at least we're not in New York.
Yeah,
but, you know,
it's like, okay, can't live in New York, can't live in London.
I'm gonna go out into the middle of Russia and just camp.
I'm gonna take a safe bet and say LA's next.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Where does Iron Man live? Like, I feel like they've had some problems over there.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, but I love like the comedy in this. I felt like was really good. There was a couple times when it was a little much, like at the end when they're sitting all at the table together. That was a little forced. And then like whenever Kat Dennings and the intern were like making out in the middle of this, I'm like, that is so just like,
and she's holding him exactly. Like, he's the one bent over and she's like kissing.
She's the one that swept him off his feet. You know?
And that's what made me kind of think like they're making fun of this movie trope. You know, like maybe this is just kind of like poking fun at it. In a superhero movie, but then they go and do like Thor making out with Natalie Portman at the
end. In front of an obvious backdrop.
Oh my gosh. But that was hilarious. Whenever he like teleports down and it's his hair in slow motion, you're like, yeah, Thor in slow motion. Oh my gosh. Like, it's just like, man, okay, so that.
But
that,
I love Kat Dennings' character. Yes. She's hilarious.
Yes. And throughout the whole thing, like from the beginning, she was really funny. It was like this big, she takes a brick through the window of whatever, you know, situation she is in.
Right. So. Right.
She's
very much like the Loki on Earth. Like, that's what Loki does.
That's true. That's true. Everybody's being all serious, and then, you know, Loki
and he's
walks
turned
in.
Into Captain America.
Yeah, exactly. That was hilarious, man. I lost it at that moment.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that at all.
No.
That, and then Stan Lee being in the insane home.
Like the convalescent home.
Can I have my shoe back?
That was awesome. Awesome. I'm always amazed about like where they slide him into these movies. Like it's just unexpected every time, you know. Yeah. It's like the first time you're like, wait a second, was that Stan? Yeah, I think it was Stan Lee. And then the next time you're like, that was definitely Stan Lee. And then now it's just kind of one of those things, where are they gonna fit him in next?
Right.
So
Malekith as a villain. And that whole race, like basically the dark elves, like
my thing was, for dark elves, they're pretty pale. I mean, you would think that they would be like dark. I mean, like, I guess that's just
It's more dark in nature.
More like dark in their character.
Yeah. They have dark eyes. Maybe they just haven't seen the sun in a while, you know? Like,
that might,
they don't go
they
lay
like,
out on the beach.
They like dark places.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
You wouldn't find them at Miami Beach.
But I'm glad the dark in the title actually meant something this time. Like, I really am happy about that.
Yeah.
I never made the connection that Into Darkness didn't have anything to do
mean
with
anything.
It. Yeah, it didn't have
film.
You know, honestly, it was in lieu of just, you know, having like a big spoiler as the title, probably.
Or Star Trek 2.
Yeah. Or The Wrath of Khan again. Yeah. You know? It's like, that would have given too much away. I feel like...
The Wrath of maybe Khan?
Yeah. The Wrath of Khan. And then JJ goes, no,
it's,
Khan's not in it.
It's
I
just
promise.
The Wrath of dot, dot, dot. And you're like, well...
Who could it be?
Is this one of those books where you fill in your own, you know, blanks and
choose
stuff?
Your own ending?
Yeah.
Yes. Flip to page 105 for Khan. Flip to page 25 for Worf.
Dude, if Worf ever shows up in the new Star Trek films, I will freak. I love Worf.
I bet he shows up as a little kid. That'd be crazy.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
A little kid.
That'd
Klingon.
Be awesome.
Back to Thor, though.
Back to Thor.
So yeah. I have a question.
All okay, right. Go for
so
it.
So like one of the main plot devices was the whole we can send a hologram version of ourself anywhere kind of thing.
Was that in the first film?
No. Was it?
Yes. Well, when? Loki did it. a few times. Like, I want to say he did it a couple times. Loki did.
This wasn't always Loki. This
no, but it was his mother, and he got his powers from his mother. That's like, true. He studied with her. He studied with her in order to gain those powers.
So she did it in the first movie?
No, he did it in the first movie, but I think it was obvious that he got his mother's side, and then Thor ended up, like, gravitating more towards the brute force of his father. So, like, that was kind of the interplay between brothers on that first movie.
When did he do it in the first movie?
He did it a couple times during the first movie. And he did it a couple times as well. Like, I want to say he did it in the Avengers. I know that he changed
his appearance in Avengers. Like, when he...
Well, didn't, like, somebody go after him and he was in a completely different spot at one point, I'm pretty sure?
Oh, yeah. When he was pretending to be in the canister.
Yeah.
Yes. And he was
I remember that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's... It's one of those plot things that I feel like it's just his character's power, and so like that comes to play a lot. So what did you think of it? Did you think it was forced or anything?
Knowing that now and realizing that now, it doesn't bother me as much. I think it just bothered me how much they used it
to get out of a situation.
Every time that they got into a tight spot, they used that to get them out of it. Yeah. Like, it was always that, which is why I totally saw Odin being Loki or Loki being Odin at the end. Like, as soon as you see him smile at Thor when Thor walks away, I'm like, he's Loki. Like, they're just going to do it one more time, you know? And so I felt like they did a little too much, but...
To a certain extent, though, like, to me, it's like, that's one of the reasons, like, that character of Loki appeals to me, is because of the whole, like, you really don't know what to expect. Right. It's like what you said earlier, before we spoiled everything, you said something about, like, you never know where he's at, you never know what he's thinking, you know, you don't know what emotions are real and what's not, and that just plays to me as his character, where it's like, I don't even know if he knows what's going on with himself.
He's just so deceptive.
Yeah.
Like, and it just makes it for, he's just a really deep character. Like,
right.
You can explore so many aspects of him.
Yeah.
Definitely. What do you think about the supporting cast, like Thor's buddies, like Sif and all of those
guys?
That
was a lot of fun. And okay, so this is another...
they didn't play as big a role this time, though.
Joss Whedon came in and did.
Okay.
Okay, so whenever they're getting out of the castle and all this kind of stuff, they're all sitting at this table and he's explaining to them what they're doing while they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That felt odd. In the way that they did it, and it kind of felt like this was done afterwards and they came and filmed this to make this make more sense.
Yeah, like the non-linear, like, heist movie planning meeting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was a super cool element.
Which, honestly, like, Joss Whedon tends to make complex things simpler, sometimes to the point of making them too simple.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of reminded me of, he didn't direct this, but I think he executive produced it and maybe helped write it, The Cabin in the Woods. Like, that's kind of what they did in Cabin in the Woods. You know, like, something would happen, and then it'd cut back to the spoiler for Cabin in the Woods. Let's go ahead, like, 15 seconds. They'd cut back to the scientists in the, you know, control room being like, this is about to happen, you know, and like, and now this is about to happen, you know, I want to see the merman, you know, things like that. And it felt the same, you know, it's like same kind of idea of explaining what's going on easily.
Yeah. You know, I definitely liked that element of it. And I definitely, you know, there were a couple of scenes where, like, even just the dialogue, like, was very, like, the comedy and the humor was very Joss Whedon, is how I'll say it.
Joss Whedon.
But, like, I feel like it very much...
Somebody just said, hey, Joss, write us some jokes.
Yeah man.
Well, I felt like all the jokes were like, this feels like the Avengers. Like,
yeah.
There was so many pokes and jabs and, like, one-liners. I'm like, man.
You know, and to me, like, I I've said this before on the podcast, it's one of those things that doesn't appeal necessarily the most to me in those tense situations, for, like, you know, the Hulk to be like, Hulk smash, you know, and just be, you know, all this.
The Hulk.
I don't know, it's like, I guess what other thing do you have going on there?
He doesn't say Hulk doesn't like you. Like, I don't know. It's just effective.
It's just to me, like, I don't know. Just all the one-liners during the climax of a movie, it kind of takes the pressure off of the climax. It feels like it releases a little bit of that tension that I have built up.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, that's a very Joss thing to do, and I like it sometimes, but sometimes it gets a little bit overran.
Yeah,
this was a little bit better than the Avengers.
The only
time
in this movie that I didn't like it was literally whenever Kat Dennings and her intern were making out.
Making
like,
out. Yeah,
that was very inappropriate. appropriate time for this movie,
right,
for that to happen.
And it was very forced. It felt very forced, like you know, shoehorned in, that sort of thing.
So. I feel like it's okay unless it gets to the point where the people in danger are still making jokes. And yeah. I feel like the Kat Dennings character, like, she does that where it's like, you're going to die and you're trying to be funny right now.
Right.
Like, you need to run.
Yeah,
like,
right, exactly.
You know, the only other time I think it felt like it felt weird to me was whenever he ended up on the subway.
Yeah.
That was really funny,
but it was a big delay tactic but for him to just not get there on time. So,
and that was a fast subway.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Like, yeah. Three stops, that takes forever, yeah, dude.
That's like 45 minutes.
Yeah, man. So yeah, I mean, it's just kind of one of those moments, that one was, where I was like, I don't know about this, you know.
Yeah. That was
hilarious.
I did like that, though. I mean, because it still made sense. It's not even like it didn't make sense, because like, right. he shows up and he's like, I don't know where I am.
Yeah.
Where am I?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's, you know, you're going in and out of universes. He's getting the beat down put on him, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's like, you're right. It did make sense in that he wouldn't have known at all where he
and
was.
I love the fact, you know, like, now in this world, he appears out of nowhere in the subway and nobody freaks out and screams. So it's like, right. Oh, man, it's Thor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on the train with us, Thor.
Yeah. It would be like if Paul McCartney showed up. They'd be like, whoa, cool.
Yes. Yeah. What's up, man?
Let me accidentally bump into Paul McCartney on the subway, you know, that yeah. sort of thing.
Was it Kat Dennings' character who was like, how is outer space?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. Space is good.
Space travel.
I also love that he was causing it to rain on everyone except for Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, at first I thought that like that was her power, like it was just like a power bubble around her or something. Yeah. Like
right.
That. And then I realized, oh, it's Thor.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
Yeah, and again, Kat Dennings scares like, is this you?
Is this you?
And she's like, can you just please stop?
Can you just
stop her attitude?
You turn it off. just turn it off. Oh man, yeah, dude. So as far as the whole movie goes, let's just kind of, you know, summarize like the villain, like as the villain.
Okay, yeah, we keep getting off track.
Right, we haven't talked about the ether really yet.
Yeah, the ether.
How did you like that?
Well,
that,
apparently
that
that's
interplay.
That's one of the five. What do they call it? One of the
Infinity Stones.
Yes, one of the five Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
So we were talking about like
which
think,
also the Tesseract is as well.
I guess
apparently.
Okay.
Yeah,
I feel like I didn't know that before.
I didn't either. Did she refer to it as an Infinity Stone?
Yeah.
She referred to it as an Infinity...
Well, no, hang on. She may not have referred to it as an Infinity Stone. She may have just said, because he said, why don't you keep this with you? And she says, well, we've already got the Tesseract, so we don't want to...
No, she said, she said it was something. She said, we've already got one Infinity something.
An Infinity Stone? Yeah, it would have been Infinity Stone.
I feel like she did call it
yeah,
an Infinity
yeah,
Stone.
Yeah, you're right. You're
she
right.
Didn't want to keep both of them together.
Right. Which is smart.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah. Except you're handing it to this creepy collector guy who's obviously keeping people captive in glass cases.
Yeah, that was crazy. We were talking earlier, like, that was very, like, it felt like out of Star Trek, the original series.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like, you know, I feel like Captain Kirk should have walked on and, hey guys, how's it going?
Yeah.
Is there a green lady around?
He's back there, like, fiddling with some tribbles or something like that.
Yeah.
To me, it felt like Fifth Element. Fifth Element is very, like, quirky and colorful.
Yeah,
and like,
Lilu shows up.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis.
Multipass. Yeah.
Crazy opera singer singing back there.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, that scene, that bonus scene, it felt strange to me somehow.
It was weird. Well, there were, like, five bonus scenes. Not really that many.
No,
there were, like,
two.
Three.
Two?
Two.
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 Yeah,
there's I don't even remember.
One mid credits like so and then one after.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah, yeah. The one after the credits was the one with the big, you know, kiss, the reuniting, where it's like Thor's here to stay, guys. Which I love that element where Thor's on Earth for good now. He's going to be a superhero here, probably.
He?
Yeah. It seems like it because he asked his dad / Loki for his life, and so I think he's going to go do with his life whatever he wants and protect
know.
The realms. But he's probably going to live on Earth.
I think he was just telling him, I don't want to be king and. Be like you and waste my life on this throne.
See, I feel like it was one of those moments where he's gonna like live on Earth and then go to these other realms.
I think he can
now.
Do whatever he wants. Like he's not gonna ignore his home world and keeping peace. You know, like
that's true. No, that's what I'm saying.
Well, Loki will make sure of that.
But he's also not gonna gonna ignore his girlfriend on Earth.
No, you know? I didn't say he would take care of her for sure.
He's got very limited time with her technically. You
yeah,
know?
In the grand scheme, of
in
things.
The grand scheme of his life.
Yes.
So, yeah,
yeah. We got way off course.
So
the bad guys.
So the bad guys. Ether. How did you like the ether? It was like this poisonous. It was like a poisonous possessor of your soul or something like that.
Yes.
You know.
It was
strange.
It was like I guess it's like their catalyst for spreading darkness.
Right.
And so I really liked the way that they gave it its own sinister character quality.
Right. Mm. It almost seemed like it was alive, and I'm not sure if it was alive or if it's just
I think Odin referred to it as an entity at one point.
Okay, so it's like a self-aware thing. That's crazy. I mean, and it was trying to protect itself. Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of things that pointed to that. And that was it was a really interesting element to me that she had it for a while. So I wonder if that has any residual effects or anything on her.
I loved her eyes turning black with blue like rings. Yeah. Like, that was crazy.
That was nuts. Yeah. That was nuts. And it increased the pressure to me whenever we're riding along. It's like, oh man, something bad is going to happen here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, as far as the, as far as that villain aspect goes, it was a unique way to handle her character and get her into the ball game as well. Cause otherwise she wouldn't have been there. I mean, the guy would have just gone and picked up the ether and, you know, then they would have been off, you know, off to destroy the universe.
Right. Yeah. It felt really good. You know, like her being in that story and bringing her to Asgard, you know, a lot of times characters like that feel like they're just inserting themselves into the story.
Yeah. Right. But she was sucked in.
Right.
So,
you know, that was really cool. I liked Malekith as a bad guy, you know. I liked his battle with Odin, like as short as it was, just getting zapped in the face. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, didn't he get zapped in the face with Thor?
And then, well, what did
Odin just
do?
Walked right in after that.
Never mind.
Or Odin really didn't
Odin's
do a whole
slow.
Lot.
Dude, old and
old
slow,
man. Yeah, dude, he's just like I don't even know. So, do you guys have any, like, standout lines or anything? There was a number of them, but there's only one that, like, really I remember.
Yeah, I remember sitting in theater and be like, I need to remember that. Oh, I need to remember that one. I need to remember that one.
Yeah.
And I don't remember any of them.
Yeah. Yes.
Not a single one.
Yeah. So the only one that I remember is whenever he's standing there talking to Odin / Loki at the end, and he says, you know, I would rather be a good man than a great king.
Yeah.
You know, and that to me, like, it was just the emotional moment in the film where he just decides, hey, listen, this is who I'm going to be. And he decides for himself as opposed to kind of just floating around as he was at the entrance of
What's crazy is, you know, and we still don't know what's happened to Odin, so maybe, like, this will change things. But, like, even in that conversation, Thor talks about, like, he said, you know, Loki understood what it takes to be king. And it's something that he doesn't understand. And I feel like, you know, to some extent, Thor's okay if Loki had become king as long as he was a good king. Right. You know?
Yeah, but lording over people, you know, like Loki was going to do, probably would not agree with Thor.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens. Like, we'll see how this turns out. Yeah. But, you know, like, Loki's very much like he uses people to meet his own ends. Now he's got what he wanted. So, like, what happens now? You know, does he keep ruling as Odin for as long as he can? Or does, like, I don't know why he would, like, all of a sudden decide he's going to make alliances with a bunch of bad guys and bring him in to destroy Asgard. Like,
right. Well, I mean, you know, especially because he's got what he wants now. He doesn't want Asgard destroyed because he wants to rule it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so what's the next Marvel movie that's coming out? Like, where do we go from here?
Captain America.
Yeah.
Yes.
And do we think that's going to deal with any of the same things? Are we building towards something here big? I mean, it was with the Collector guy at the end in the Infinity Stones. We are obviously building towards something.
Right.
But are we building towards the next Avengers movie? Are we building towards, like, three Avengers movies from now? I mean,
I feel like they're being way more subtle about how these tie in together than they did in Phase 1.
Yeah. That makes
sense. Like, I felt like Phase 1, like, you had the Tesseract in almost every movie.
Yeah.
And this one, like, Iron Man 3 was like, where did this come from?
Right.
Like, this is a completely different story.
Yeah.
And then Thor, like, they didn't tie anything into Iron Man.
Right.
And they brought in Captain America for 30 seconds, but, like, they...
They didn't even really reference S.H.I.E.L.D., other than Kat Dennings' character says something like she was calling them.
Yeah, they're not returning my calls, that sort of thing. Well,
and then
supposedly we're supposed to deal with something that they set up in Thor, I think either this week or next week.
Next week.
On Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
so
okay.
We'll be watching for that to figure out what that's about. But, I mean, it's just kind of, you're right. It's like we haven't referenced anything, you know, in the last couple Marvel movies. So.
Well, like, and if they deal with what we're talking about, they might deal with is that, like, crazy ice monster or whatever running around London. Like
I wouldn't be surprised.
With Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah.
With Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that means that it's not even like something that's really substantial or
related to the big story.
Exactly. Yeah. In the larger scheme of things.
That would make sense. So, I mean, it's like, where are we going from here? I just don't even know. Like, when's the next Avengers movie slated to be out?
2016?
And that's a ways away. So we've got a decent amount of time. Guardians of the Galaxy going to come out before that?
We had mentioned that, no.
And I want to say that they've said that doesn't deal with any of this stuff. So, I mean, they're saying that Guardians of the Galaxy really didn't.
What did you say that the Avengers 2 is dealing with? I forgot what you said.
Ultron.
Which is not, like we were talking about, we could be completely wrong on this, but we think Thanos has the Infinity Rings, mm-hmm. which would mean that he would be a bad guy in the future. And we saw him at the end of Avengers 1.
Yep.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't know where we're going. Like, it's so confusing at this point that, you don't know exactly what they've planned or what's there just kind of like slipping in to, sort of set things up, that sort of thing.
I do like, we saw another preview for Captain America before this. It's the same one that that came out a couple weeks ago. But, like, that thing looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Honestly, the preview for that made me more excited about that than I was for Thor.
Yeah.
But now Thor was amazing, so I don't even know what to expect from Captain America.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just glad that we're past the, like, ignorant Captain America
Know what's happening.
Yeah. And now we're into, I'm here to save the world, and I will kick your butt if you stand in my way. Yeah. Captain America.
Right, definitely. So,
which is what I got from the trailer.
Right. And the other thing that, like, honestly adds more weight to it. For me, is the fact that Robert Redford's in it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh man, things just got real.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Isn't he playing a character above Nick Fury?
Yeah, he's like the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's like the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something like that,
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, so like, I don't even know. Like,
stuff's about to get nuts up in here.
Yeah, things are about to get nuts. And I'm looking forward to that because, like we said, we didn't spend a lot of time on Earth this time. So we haven't, aside from the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, we haven't really dealt in movie form. What the world is like now.
Right.
Right.
And it seems like Captain America will deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay. So do you guys want to go ahead and go through and like rate this thing?
Yeah.
I mean, so like scale of like 1 to 10, kind of 10 being like your perfect movie, attainable, but not, but amazing, attainable, but not like played down at all.
Yeah.
And then, 0 being absolutely terrible, your worst movie ever. So, yes.
You guys go first. I want to hear what you say.
Chris, what do you think?
Man, I honestly think that this is probably, like an 8.5.
That's about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about what I would give it. I would give it about an 8.5 just because, like, to me, it's like it had an 8.59. Like, it's not getting way up there just because there were some odd things. I feel like it could be a 9 for some people, but I almost think it's like it's just an 8.5 because there were a couple of moments.
It's a 9.
There's a couple of moments that were just like whether it was the like some pacing moments where it was like why was that scene in there with the guy running around Stonehenge.
Right.
I mean, there's just a couple of things that like they did that I didn't really like. It would be a 9.
Yeah, like I think I'm gonna say 9. Like I really liked this movie a lot. Like I will watch this movie several times.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Josh. What about you?
Yeah, I liked it. I really liked it. I would give it an 8.
Okay.
With Gus up to a 9.
Okay.
Because I feel like there were parts that were very worthy of a 9, but I don't think the whole movie is worthy of a 9, just like you're saying.
That's kind of where I'm at, where it's like there were those emotional highs where it was just like, this is a great movie, this is a 9. And then there were those other moments where like, this is an 8.5.
So I think, whereas the first Thor and the first Captain America, I bought them on Blu-ray just because it's part of the canon and I need it.
Yeah.
I felt like this one, I wanted to own it. Like, I want to buy it the day it comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I didn't feel like that when Thor 1 and Captain America came out.
Right on.
So, yeah, definitely go see this movie.
That wraps up the coverage, basically, right?
Yeah, that wraps up our coverage.
And then some.
And yes, and there was a lot of side trails in there.
Yeah.
Like, rabbit
enjoyable
trails.
Side trails, though.
Yeah.
Like, enjoyable side trails that you could definitely, take home and think about and
chew on.
Probably discount completely,
Yes. Just ignore a lot of what we said.
Yeah, you'll end up just going, those guys are crazy. What are they thinking?
Just play this podcast at twice speed and just kind of let it go.
Yeah. All right, well, you can check us out anytime online at stayontargetpodcast.com. You can find links to our YouTube and our Twitter and Facebook.
And John's comic run.
John's doing a comic run. I'll post a link to Josh does a like video blog like every so often, and it's pretty pretty cool. Some witty banter in there.
Awesome.
And I enjoy it.
Man, I'll have to check it out. I haven't watched it.
Words of wisdom. And then you can find us all on Twitter.
JohnWright777.
Josh Fulton.
And ChrisWright250. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on
Stay on Target.